Welcome to the Shiur Ksava Kabbalah, Parshas Balak. In Perek Chof Gimel Pasuk Yutes, one of the would-be klolos that become brachos uttered by Bilam HaRasha is the line, Lo ish keel v'yichazev v'en adam v'yisnecham. God is not a man that he should be deceitful. He's not a son of man that he should regret his actions. In other words, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam is fundamentally different than human beings. Human beings sometimes promise and don't make good on their promises. They sometimes do actions and they regret their actions. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is perfect. Hasur Tom and Paolo and everything that he does. And certainly, thank you. Certainly, if the Ribbono Shel Olam shows Klal Yisrael, and certainly if he wants them to be the object of bracha, there's no regret, chalila, on the part of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and any promises that he's delivering to Klal Yisrael are certainly going to come true. That's the line, Lo ish keel v'yichazev v'en adam v'yisnecham, which is uttered by Bilam. Vayishtei Aksava Kabbalah, Hizkir Shnei Toarim, Adam Ish. Right? The simple pshat in this pasuk, of course, it so often appears in poetry in Tanakh, is that, as the Radak says it many times, Kofal ho'inyan b'milim shonos, that basically the nature of poetry is that the same idea is repeated in slightly different words. You know, so lo ish kel v'yichazev uven adam v'yisnecham. It's a paraphrase. But as the Aksava Kabbalah is about to explain to us, it's much, much deeper than that. It's not simply the same thing in two different words. We start with the idea that the pasuk refers both to Adam and to Ish, two different words for a human being. And each one, Adam and Ish, is correlated with a certain failing, and that failing is said to not be present with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lazeh HaKozov, when it comes to an Ish, so an Ish is often not faithful to his promises, he's mechazev, and when it comes to an Adam, he's misnachem, in other words, he regrets that which he did. So in other words, what's the difference between an Ish and an Adam, and why is one associated with failure to make good on promises, and the other is associated with the notion of regretting his actions? So he goes on to explain. Again, as we see so often, the Aksava Kabbalah turns to the Zohar to try to help us understand different terminology that exists in Chumash. And the Mechilta de Rashbi we learn as follows. Tana b'kama dargin iskere barnosh. As the Mechilta de Rashbi, man is referred to by various terms, and the various terms represent different levels of humanity. Adam, Gever, Enosh, Ish, find all four terms that describe a human being. And writes the Mechilta de Rashbi, Gadol shebekulam Adam. The greatest of all of these terms for a human being is the term Adam. Diksiv ayikras shmam Adam biyom hibaram. Because the pasuk describes that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself termed man, Adam, on the day on which he created man. So the implication seems to be a term which is utilized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is clearly superior to all of these other terms, Gever, Ish, Enosh, and the like. So if God called man Adam, that's the most superior term out of all of these terms. So it goes on the Aksava Kabbalah to say as follows. En kavonas Maimer zeh shetoar Adam tamid yore al hatzadik v'toar ish al rama alolim. On a simple level, if you read the words of the Mechilta de Rashbi, you would walk away with the following understanding. If the Torah calls somebody an Adam, so he must be a tzaddik. After all, the Mechilta de Rashbi told us that Adam is the most exalted, it's the superior of all of the various terms which are used to describe a human being. And conversely, Ish seems to be on a lower level. And the four madregas, the four levels that are delineated by the Mechilta de Rashbi, Ish is the last one. So you would think as follows. Okay, so here's my guide to figuring out who's who in Tanakh, if the person is called an Adam, he must be a Tzaddik. The person is called an Ish, he must be a Rasha. Very, very simple. It's very simple, but it'll be very wrong. So, because as the Ksav HaKabbalah points out, Ki harbe mikraos yoru ahepich, all you have to do is read a little bit of Tanakh, and you'll see that the opposite is true is in many cases. Kakosov. So, for instance, in Eov, Zechelek Adam Rasha. This is the portion of an Adam Rasha, an evil Adam, which should be an oxymoron, the way we're understanding from the Rashbi. Or in Mishlei, Bemos Adam Rasha, when an Adam Rasha passes away. Again, by definition, if Adam is the superior form of a human being, the term Adam Rasha shouldn't exist. Right? V'hipucho. And we find the opposite as well. In other words, Ish, which was the lowest of the four rungs, according to the Mechilta of the Rashbi, is very often associated with Tzadikim. Yaakov, Ishtam, Noach, Ish Tzadik. Or to top them all off, Moshe, Ish Elokim. So what's Ish Elokim? You're telling me Ish is the lowest of the four madregas, the four levels, which, you know, in which a human being can be described. The whole term Ish HaElokim, it should be Adam HaElokim. What's Ish HaElokim? How do you understand that altogether? So Venira Lee, Behevdel Shnei Toarim Eilas. So there's Aksav HaKabbalah. Again, clearly the Mechilta Rashbi is ranking these various different descriptions of the human being, and yet there's clearly something, you know, more complex than just this is good, this is bad, because it doesn't work out with the psukim. So it seems to me as follows: Ki einenu haroos sheprote bnei adam nivdolim zem yizeh b'midoseh mitzad tivam. Our experience tells us, says Aksav HaKabbalah, that people have different natures and people have different inclinations. And he goes on to say, you know, again, we have the idea of the Arba Yisodos, the four different basic elements, Eish, Ruach, Mayim, Ofar, right? And he says each, depending on which Yisod, which element is more associated with a particular human being, he's going to lean in a certain direction in terms of his personality traits, right? So we find as well that if a person is born under a certain mazel, is born under a certain constellation. Again, feel free at the end of the shir to walk upstairs and take a look at all the mazalas on the ceiling. But we find if a person is born under a certain mazel, so he has an atiyah, he has an inclination towards a certain type of personality trait, right? So, for instance, Chazal tell us the famous Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kufnun Vav Amud Aleph, Hayman de b'madim yehei shofech damim. If a person is born when Mars is out, so he's going to be Shofech Dam, he's going to be a murderer. Mars is the red planet. And high man, but if he's born when Tzedek, when Jupiter is out, so he's going to be a person of justice. So these terms which the Mechilta of the Rashbi is using, Ish and Adam, relate not so much to what the person does in actuality, but what he's slated for in potential. And he goes on to explain as follows: Mishin atias mizgo notel ra'a yituar ledati b'shem Adam. If a person has a natural inclination to want to be up to mischief, to be up to no good, we call such a person an Adam. And I'll explain why in a minute. If somebody, conversely, whose natural inclination is to do what's right and what's good, he's just born a nice guy, you know, he just has that kind of, you know, natural feinkeit which defines the individual, such a person is called an Ish. And he explains why. Fisha Adam Ashin Atias Misgonotel Rai Yoser. He bolo misara kovas yisod gashmius asheba offer Adam yisodom. Lachen yituar b'shem Adam. What's the word Adam? Adam is related to Adamo, to earth. A person who's not a spiritual person by nature, is a coarse, earthly kind of person. It's called an Adam. You know, he's not that, you know. Don't hack me a chinik with davening, with learning, all these sort of things. You know, I'm a man of the ground. I'm an earthly kind of guy. I'm a coarse individual. Such a person is called an Adam. Kimin ha'adam alukach, right? After all, he comes from Adam, from the ground. Ve'im mezek tivo note l'tov yoseh. However, if his sort of natural inclination is to lean towards doing what's right and what's good, that shows that on a fundamental level, his just natural makeup is more spiritual. What's the word ish? So says the Aksava Kabbalah, the word ish comes from the word yesh. Yesh means to exist. And as opposed to that which is earthly and this-worldly, which doesn't have a permanent existence, it isn't really yesh, that which is spiritual, that which is ruchni, has yeshius. It has a certain eternal quality to it. It has stability. It has longevity. So an ish is somebody who's tied to that which is yesh, to that which exists and exists eternally, as opposed to the Adam, who's more tied to the Adama, to the earth, which is going to pass. And he writes as follows: Lochein tzivei marom yituaru ish. Therefore, we find an interesting thing: the malachim are often referred to in Tanakh with the word ish, and he gives an example. So examples, you find the Maaseh Merkava, right? The four faces that are described in the Maaseh Merkava, ish el aver panav yelechu. Each one of them, that's how we translate it in English. Each one of them was going in the direction in which his face was turned. But the term which is used to describe these malachim is ish. Or another example. The Navi Yechezkel describes how Yechezkel Anavi sees a malach who's dressed in linen garments, and that person is described ha'ish levush habadim. Finally, an example from Daniel. Say for Daniel speaks about how Daniel sees a malach ve'ha'ish gavriel. So we find this term ish with regard to the malachim. By the way, the Ksav HaKabbalah doesn't mention it, but you might throw in as well Pasuk in Chumash. You don't have to go all the way to Nach, right? The Pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev, right? Yosef is going to look for his brothers. Vayim so'eyu ish, v'nei so'er basodeh. A man found him, right? And Rashi, of course, quotes from Chazal over there, is the Malach Gavriel. Why is it the Malach Gavriel? It says ish. Vayim so'eyu ish, v'nei so'er basodeh. So, you know, according to the Aksav HaKabbalah, again, you know, it doesn't mean that every single time you see the word ish, it automatically means it's a malach. I mean, there are plenty of, you know, occurrences of ish, you know, where the person in question is not a malach. But in other words, the description of a malach as ish is not unusual. It shouldn't surprise us. You know, that's, you know, you could add that in to the various examples quoted by Aksav HaKabbalah. And finally, the most outstanding example, V'alabara Yisparach. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as an ish. You say it every day in the davening. Hashem ish milchama. Hashem shmo. Right? So Hashem is described as an ish. So on the surface, it's almost blasphemous. What do you mean? The Ribbono Shel Olam calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu a man? No. So as ish can mean a human being. But ish, he's saying, can also mean something which has an eternal spiritual quality to it. So it has yeshius. So a malach can be an ish, and kavayachol, the Ribbono Shel Olam as well, can be described as an ish in that sense of the term. In other words, there's something, you know, the aspect of permanence and stability is certainly a description of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is, you know, extremely, extremely accurate. So that's the difference between Adam and ish. Okay, so let's bring this back to the Mechil to the Rashbi.
Mizer Shamul Chazal b'Mechilta,
on his keres. Shama tuar b'shem adam hu b'maylo yoser gavoa miyam tuar b'shem ish. Now this is a beautiful explanation that he gave about adam and ish, but the truth is, if you start thinking about it, it should come out that ish is higher than an adam. Because what's adam? Adam is adama. He's tied to the ground. Ish is tied to the spiritual, to the eternal. And yet the Mechilta of the Rashbi says exactly the opposite. The Mechilta of the Rashbi says ish is at the bottom of the totem pole, and adam is at the top of the totem pole. So how do you understand that? It's exactly the opposite of what we would expect. So he goes on to say as follows. You don't understand. Hametuar b'shem adam, yesh lo mitzad briyoso b'chinas yistron al hametuar b'shem ish. Somebody who's born an adam has a certain advantage over someone who's born an ish. Shilafi sheyistron ha'adam akol agruim eino el b'mashah b'chira b'yado libchar b'tobo b'hipucho. What makes a human being better than an animal? The fact that a human being can choose to do what's right or what's wrong. An animal acts on instinct. There's a certain amount of the animal being pre-programmed to do certain things. The person has a moral choice. He can choose to do that which is right. Asher mitzad b'chiras v'zos yuchal l'hishtalem. And it's a person's bechira, his ability to choose that which is right, which gives the person shlemus, which gives the person true perfection from a moral and ethical perspective. Well, it's alos b'maylo rama, and a person can achieve tremendous things by virtue of choosing actively that which is right. So now consider the following, says Aksava Kabbalah. Who's a greater person? The person who naturally is nice and sweet and does the right thing, you know, and is a gentle, fine person? Or the person who really would love to be out there doing all kinds of evil activities and yet pulls himself back? Who's better? The person who just naturally does what's good, or the person who overcomes his Yetzirah and struggles and manages to do that which is good? The truly great person is the Adam who overcomes his natural tendency to do that which is bad. If you're an Ish and you're a good guy, it's not such a big milo because, okay, it comes easy to you. It's the person who has to struggle to do what's right, the Adam, who's really deserving of our praise. You know, if it's easy for you, you walk by the store and you know, you see you can easily shoplift, but it wouldn't even occur to you to shoplift. Okay, you know, so it's a good thing that you're not a ganav, but it's not such an amazing thing that you're not a ganav. But somebody whose natural inclination is to walk by the store and just the mind almost automatically starts racing and running, how can I steal some merchandise and get away with it? And yet the person says, you know, I'm going to say no. I'm going to tell the Yetzirah, go away. And he struggles, and he works on himself, and finally he overcomes. It's that person who overcomes the natural tendency to do that which is evil. That's the greater person. There's a difference in terms of how these Adam and Ish are respectively rewarded and punished. Ki amatur b'shem Adam bilti safik shizkar maruba im yatzdik ma'asov mitzad is kamen muso mitzad negativo haravis kabrusto alov. The Adam who does what's right, fighting against his inclination, is on a tremendous madrega. Right? If you're an ish, you do what's right, okay. Right? Conversely also, the ish who sins is really going to be punished in a terrible way. Because your natural inclination was to do what was good, and you fought against your natural inclination, you did that which was bad. That's really vicious. And Adam, you know, who's drawn to that which is bad and that which is, you know, this worldly naturally, okay, so, you know, he stumbled, he gave in to his natural inclinations. But, you know, the ish who acts wrongly is lahachis. I mean, he's, you know, he had every reason to be good, and yet he was bad. Consider the following. We have a line, which is a song, so since it's a song, everybody knows it. But we have a line that appears in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, which we can understand on a deeper level and right in light of this particular explanation. Ashrei ish shlo yishkocheka uven adam yisametz boch. Fortunate is the ish who does not forget you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the ben adam who is misametz, right, who strengthens himself or exerts himself boch through you. Now here too, the simple pshat in that line is that these are two phrases which are meant to parallel one another, but they're not saying exactly the same thing. Fortunate is the man who doesn't forget you, and the ben adam who exerts himself through you. Why is not forgetting and exerting, why are those two things which are parallel to one another? So he writes as follows: Amru b'shevach ha'ishim lo yishkachis Hashem, b'shevach ha'adam im yisam itzboch. Right? The ish remembers the person who naturally is more spiritual. Let's say, for instance, the ish is a person who's naturally a very compassionate individual. He can't see this, he can't stand to see someone in pain or in distress. So his natural inclination is, you know, he's got to climb the tree and get the kitten out of the tree. You know, he's just, whatever it is, he's going to always look for the Maisa Chesa to do in any situation. On a certain level, although, again, it's obviously good that he's doing the right thing, in a sense, his avoda is not as complete as it could be, because it's almost like it's robotic. In other words, he naturally feels a certain compassion for people. He can't stand to see people in pain. So that's why he does what he does. Is it because of Avodas Hashem? Not necessarily. So too, even the Adam, who's naturally inclined more to do that which is not right, when he refrains from doing certain averos because of fear of punishment, for instance, or the like, that also is a shalol l'shem shamayim. You know, I'd love to go out there and steal, I'm just afraid of getting caught. So that's the pshat in the first half of the phrase. Ashrei ish shelo yishkocheka. Fortunate is the ish. The ish is the guy who's going to do the right thing. What's the nisayon of the person who's the ish? When he does the chesed, he shouldn't forget about the ribono shel olam. We know he's going to do the chesed. He can't stand not to do the chesed. He sees the person in difficulty and sorrows, and his heart starts melting already. But why are you doing the chesed? Are you doing the chesed just because you have that compassionate nature, and you're not going to be able to sleep that night if you you see that the person is going to suffering? Or do you have the sense of, I'm doing this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do this? Ashrei ish shelo yishkocheka. Let the person who's naturally compassionate, his nisayon is not to forget about the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what the first half of that phrase means. Conversely, v'shevach hamatur b'shem adam hu im yisametz v'yiskaber al kolchosav ha'misavos shebo lo mitzad pnios chitzonios ki im mitzad shirotze lehistabik bo yisbarach. What's the nisayon? What's the test for the ben adam, the person whose natural inclination is to do that which is wrong, to do that which satisfies his physical desires? Such a person has to struggle in order to do that which is right. the ish doesn't have to struggle. But the ben adam is praised when yis'amitz bach, when he's struggling, when he's working on himself in order to be able to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each one has a different nisayon. Each one has a different test. The ish has to remember Hashem when he's got to do that mitzvah, which we know he's got to do anyway. The ben adam has to really, but he has to really struggle in order to do the mitzvah in the first place. So each one is rewarded in accordance with what they do, which is going to be good. Ashrei ish lo yishkacheka, ben adam yisamitz bo. Each one gets their just reward in accordance with what they do. So let's bring it back to the pasuk. V'chan omar lo ish kel biyachadev uven adam yisnecham. So what's the difference between ish and adam in our context, and between not being faithful and regretting? Ki amatuar b'shem ish kiva shemitiva nota yosel elam alusios. If an ish promises that he's going to do something, you can rest assured that he's going to do everything within his power to make good on his promise, because that's just the kind of person the ish is. He won't be able to sleep at night if he feels that he wasn't honest, or he wasn't living up to the promise that he had made. It's possible that something will come from the outside, some external thing will prevent him from being able to make good on his promise, but certainly he will do whatever he can to fulfill his promises. Amnam ha-matuar b'shem Adam, kivan shenetiyas tivo yosu notel abachisiyus, hinei melevad shei miftach ala mitzad toldas menia shechutz mimenu, ki uchalios shiyis yalei bo me'atzu ha-menia me'ashlin diburo, vehi ha-nechama shetisromein ko'es ala v'netiyas tivo, abachisiyus, v'stim na'eyum l'shmor motzos fosav. However, when it comes to the Ben Adam, so the Ben Adam again is the person who is naturally inclined to do things that are not so good. So such a person may not make good on his promises. In fact, he's very subject to the charata, to regretting what he promised, and not making good on his promises. And you know, I told you I was going to do this. I woke up this morning and I decided that was foolish that I made that commitment. So I'm reneging on my commitment. That's the kind of thing that an adam, might do. An ish would never do that. An ish might not be able to make good on his promises because of some external thing. But an adam might just, kind of wake up one morning and decide, I'm just not going to do it. But on that cross, she'ein bo yisfar chashash chisana bitachan asher le'ish, hu ha'kozov, rot salom, ha'hefsek v'chisana ha'yicholas, Yalzeh Amar Kilo Yishkel V'Chazev. Bila Marasha says about the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's not an ish. What's an ish? An ish would always try his best to make good on his promises, unless he physically couldn't do it. That's called being mechazev, being unable to fulfill that which a person promised because of something that's out of the person's control. An ish might find that as a problem, but not Chas V'Shalom the Ribbono Shel Olam. And similarly, when Adam is necham, when it comes, ein bo yisfar hachashash chisar bitachar sheyeshno ba'adam, right? When it comes to a ben adam, so again, a ben adam, even without an external reason, I just wake up one morning and say, I have charata, I regret what I promised, I renege on my promises, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yalzeh omar ben adam v'yis necham. That's the second half of the pasuk. Unlike a ben adam, the Ribbono Shel Olam will never engage in that kind of charata, that kind of changing of his mind, that would impact on the person in that kind of way.
Rather than being just a personality trait, don't we learn in the Milam that it really has to do with whether or not he's a ben Torah?
Where do we learn that? Where do we learn that?
Well, I was looking up the paragraph that you say by the Abela, the house, and the last
I mean, the truth is that pasuk I think supports the Aksava Kabbalah's contention very nicely. Adam nimshal kadehena sininu. Why say Adam and not Ish? Because it's after the Adam. In other words, the person who, you know, I think the point which the Aksava Kabbalah is making, the bigger point that Aksava Kabbalah is making, is that it's legitimate to acknowledge that different people have different natural inclinations. And some people, they open up a Gemara, they sit down, and it's like water, you know. It's no problem. I love sitting and learning. The other people, there are a lot of things.
You know, they give you the footnote that they say.
Okay.
That is, although man is glorious, if he does not understand because he has not studied, he's like,
Yeah, 100%. So I think that the bigger point that Aksava Kabbalah is making is that, again, people have different natural inclinations. There's some people, they sit down, they learn, it comes naturally to them. The other people, they sit down to learn, and in their mind, there are a million different voices they hear, you know, and they're telling them to do everything in the world besides learn. Everything in the world besides learn, you know. And the same goes for davening and ma'aseh chesed and everything like that. It's legitimate to acknowledge that people have different nisyonos. And the Aksava Kabbalah is telling us that what merely makes a person great is not just the result, but the degree to which the person makes an effort to struggle to do that which is right. For some people, if they struggle and they're less successful in their struggle, that may still put them on a higher madrega than the person who's able to accomplish more, but it just comes to them more naturally, and they don't have to think about it as much when they end up doing the right thing. Pick up following my Rebbe Ezra Hashem with another piece from Aksava Kabbalah. Mechanan ben Akasha, Omer Rosa, Kodesh Baruch, Lezakos, Tisra, Lefika, Chirbulahem, Torah, Mitzvah, Shenemar, Adonai Chofes, Man, Tisra, Yagdil, Torah, Biyagdil. Yitzkadeh, Yitzkadeh, Shmei Rabbah, Yom Amadi, Yom Chirusei, Yom Amad Malchusei, Bechai Yichon, Yom Eifon, Bechai Yichodeh, Yisrael, Sa'ad Olav, Yisman, Korib, Imru, Amen. Yehi Shmei Rabbah, Mevorach, Yolam, Omei, Yom, Ayoy, Yisvorach, Yishabat, Yisvor, 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 Isadari Salari Salosh, when the Kodesh of Riku. We ain't coming cover for Savi, she was so, which was so, and I'm a so, Dami Rami Omo, we move on me. Are you so, we are a banana, we are some of the Homey Alco, Tommy Day, some of the Homey Alco, on the Oskin, we are a star, we are throwing the Mughal Star, we are star. Yehiva Amul Kham, Shlomo Rabach, you know, the things of Rafa, maybe Hai, we came from Rikhei, for Kanam in Kadama. Welcome to the second half of the Shiak Savak Kabbalah Parshas Balak. So, jumping backwards a little bit in the Sedra. Perek Chaf Beis Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So the famous story of Bilam and the Oson, the she donkey, the Malach who's been stopping the she donkey from going forward, appears to Bilam. He finally sees the Malach, and the Malach is explaining to Bilam what happened. Vatirani ha'Oson. The Malach says to Bilam, the she donkey saw me. Vatek lefon aizeh shalosh regalim. And it's been three times now that the she donkey turned off the path because she was trying to avoid the Malach. Ulai notisami panai, had she not turned away from before me, ki ata gam oscha haragti v'osa hechayesi. Now, also you I would have killed, and she I would have kept alive. So what's interesting in this pasuk is the word gam. Gam, again, we usually translate as also. Where does also come into this pasuk? Had the she donkey not turned off the path, I also would have killed you. Gam oscha haragti. Right. Who's the other one? So again, we know Chazal say that the she-donkey was killed, right, instead of Bilam, that he killed the donkey. But, so your inclination is to say, gam oscha haragti, I would have killed you together with the she-donkey, but that's clearly not the interpretation, because the next words in the pasuk are, v'osa hecheyesi, and I would have kept the she-donkey alive. So clearly, you know, it was either or, right? So in other words, what's the gam here in the pasuk? So Rashi writes as follows: Gam oscha haragti, Hareza mikra masuras. You have to twist around the phrases and the words in the pasuk to be able to read it straight. For who kamo gam haragti oscha, and it's, you have to read it as if the pasuk is saying, I would have killed you as well. Meaning, lo ha'akava bilvad karascha al yodi ki gam ha'hariga. The malach is saying, right now you're kvetching that there was traffic. Right? In other words, that the she-donkey turned off the side of the road. But had the she-donkey not turned off the side of the road, not only would you be kvetching about the traffic, gam oscha haragti, I would have killed you as well. In other words, not just that you would have had this unfortunate circumstance of, you know, the she-donkey is going this way and that way, and it's banging your legs into the wall and it's uncomfortable. Okay, that would have been the least of your problems. Gam oscha haragti, I would have killed you as well. In other words, the gam is not meant to imply that other people would have been killed. The gam is meant to imply that not only would you have experienced distress in that way, but it also would have included you're getting killed as part of the deal. That's Rashi's interpretation over here. The Aksava Kabbalah quotes Rashi. He points out that there are other interpretations as well. He mentions this in Ibn Ezra, and the Ramban is upset with the Ibn Ezra. But the Ksava Kabbalah suggests something interesting. He says as follows: "Uladaiti milas gam peirusho adiraba." Sometimes the word gam, which again we usually translate as also, can actually mean adiraba. The opposite is true. On the contrary, hashayor al hetach. Where do we see that? That gam would mean on the contrary. K'maymer Moshe al paro. Consider the following in Parshas Bo, right? So Paro says to Moshe, okay, you convinced me, the people can go, gam, but sonchem v'karchem yutzog, but don't take any sheep with you. You want to go worship your god in the wilderness, that's fine, the sheep stay here. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's response to Paro? Gam ato titen biyodeinu zvachim v'olos. So also you will give into our hands sheep that we will take to be makrivis karbonos. What's the gam? So the way that Ksav HaKabbalah wants to read the pasuk is gam means on the contrary. Now you're saying that the sheep are going to stay put. On the contrary, ato titen biyodein lehetuch, you're going to ato titen biyodein zvachim va'olos. Right? Another example. Right, so Yaakov Avinu sends out Malachim to greet Esav. The Malachim come back and they say, Esav is coming. Not only is Esav there, but actually, on the contrary, he's heading towards you. Or when Moshe Rabbeinu is told to go down to Mitzrayim, and he's told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's going to meet his brother Aaron on the way. V'gam hinehu yotzei likrosecha. On the contrary, Aaron is coming out to greet you. In other words, it's not as if you're going to just meet him in Mitzrayim. On the contrary, you're going to meet him on the way. He's coming to greet you. V'chein kan milas gam hu kiloshen adirabah. Is a yorel hetach hadover hanasa koloma lo hoyisi hosa dover hakotan lahamisa behema adiraba ha hetach the dover yoser godom is hoyisi osa oschalavad horagti for osa hechayesi for ain sarach lasaris lashon amikra umisa sa behema huskar gamkin. So the way the Aksava Kabbalah reads the pasuk is as follows. Again, working with the tradition of Chazal that the Malach killed the she donkey. So the Malach says to Bilam as follows: Had Ulai Natasa Miponai, had the she donkey not turned off of the road, ki ata gam oscha haragti v'oscha chayesi. Right now, I killed the donkey and kept you alive. But had the donkey not turned off the path, on the contrary, I would have done the exact opposite. I would have killed you and kept the donkey alive. So gam over here is meant in the sense of the opposite. The hagra, the gra on Aderes Eliyahu, Pirush, she'im not to sami panai, haragti oscha tefet. tekef. Lo intanti lecha ad milchemes midyan sharagul b'nei Yisrael b'charef. V'zehu gam ki ata v'gam osach ki ata gam osach haragti. So the Groth addresses another aspect of this pasuk. What's ata now? Right? Had the donkey not veered off the path, ki ata oscha haragti, I would have killed you now. As opposed to what? As opposed to later. Because basically the Malach is foreshadowing the fact that we know, as the Pasuk says, that Bilam is killed in the Milchemes Midyan. He's got to be killed anyway. He's, you know, you're not going to make it to the end of Bamidbar with Bilam still alive. He doesn't, you know, when the curtain falls on the show of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, he doesn't come on stage, you know, to take a bow. He's gone already by the time Sefer Bamidbar is over. But, you know, had the donkey not veer off the path, ki ata oscha haragti, your death would have been imminent. What's the gam? So here the Gra wants to say differently than Ksava Kabbalah. Gam oscha haragti, pirish oscha v'ha'anorim v'ha'anoshim aholchim imach eskulam ha'yisi horeg. You know who would have died? Bilam was accompanied by an entourage. There were all these people going with him. So everybody would have been killed. Gam oscha haragti, they would have been killed together with you. Again, that's different than the way gam is interpreted according to the Ksava Kabbalah. It's just interesting to come back to the Ksava Kabbalah for a moment. It's interesting how he interprets gam, because on a certain level, his interpretation of gam is not only different than the standard interpretation of gam also, but it's actually contrary to it. It's the exact opposite. Gam, according to the Ksava Kabbalah, means not in addition to, but instead of this would have happened. On the contrary, instead of this would have happened. How can one word mean opposite things? So I think that's something that's, you know, we find not infrequently in Lashon HaKodesh, right? You know, sometimes the opposite of a word can mean two, not only different things, but opposite things. Take the word bracha, for instance. Right? You know, the idea of birkas Hashem, you know, blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, clearly is meant as a euphemism for a klala, for a curse. And yet, you know, the word levarech, you know, means to bless under normal circumstances. Right? I think the Meshech Chachma brings an example of this with the word la'azov. Right? On the one hand, la'azov means to abandon. On the other hand, azov tazov imo is interpreted, don't abandon the person, help the person out. We sometimes find that a word can mean one thing, it can mean exactly the opposite of that very thing. So the Ksava Kabbalah seems to be saying that the word gam as well, you know, can mean in addition to or instead of, which are, you know, on the surface, two very, very different things which are being conveyed. Okay, Abbas Hashem will pick up next week, Wednesday night, and we'll see everybody then.